Hola, mi gente. The moment you've been waiting for is finally here. My brand new book, Financially Lit, is officially out. And I can't wait for you to get your copy. Inside this book, I'm bringing you culturally relevant and relatable personal finance advice that will allow you to finally feel seen, heard, and understood. Whether it's the guilt you feel from being the first person to make it while members of your family are still struggling, or the way that financial trauma manifests itself in negative and limiting beliefs around money, Financially Lit is here to guide you through it all. Just a few years ago, it was almost impossible to find personal finance books written for first-generation wealth-building Latinas. We have been forced to navigate the complicated world of money with a bunch of money books written by old white dudes who don't understand what it's like for us first-gen kids. But that stops right here, right now. Inside Financially Lit, you will learn how to set boundaries with your familia, with your dinero, create and pass on generational wealth, diversify and increase your income, protect yourself from financial abuse, navigate the complicated relationship between amor and dinero, invest like a white dude or better, and so much more. You can get your hard copy and audiobook version of Financially Lit at financiallylitbook.com, and make sure to join our email list so you can find out when I'm stopping in a city near you for the Financially Lit book tour. See you soon.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Sitting down and figuring out why you're doing what you're doing is going to help you continue to move forward and not give up, because entrepreneurship is very tricky. One moment we're like on top of the world. Next month we're like, oh my God, like I should not do this. It's just a roller coaster. You know how it is.
I know how it is, girl. That ability to just deal with shit as it comes is a skill set in its own. There is pain before there is that transformation. It's hard now, but it won't be as hard later. And just focusing on that long-term success versus the instant gratification shit, that's going to get you so far. Those quote-unquote successes that come from taking shortcuts are always short-lived. You just can't hang your hat on shit when you haven't really gone through shit.
Absolutely. You have to be patient. And I know that's hard in this day and age. People just want instant things, but I think the worth of it will keep you moving forward. There's that delayed gratification. It's coming. Trust me. Like that hard work that you're putting in will show out. So don't feel like you see us and it's like end all be all. No, we went through those trials and tribulations and we still go through them.
Absolutely.
You're listening to Yo Quiero Dinero, a personal finance podcast for the modern Latina. I'm your host, Janice Torres, award-winning Latina personal finance expert. I didn't always have my financial shit together, but when I started looking for POC-friendly personal finance podcasts, I couldn't find any. And so Yo Quiero Dinero was born. On this show, I'll show you how to make dinero, how to keep your dinero, and most importantly, how to make it grow. Each week, I'm connecting you with the most brilliant minds in the world of money and business, so you can learn about investing, entrepreneurship, and building wealth. The best part? I'm dishing up all this knowledge with a sassy side of sazón. So if you're ready to be poderosa with your dinero, you've come to the right place. Let's dive in. Before we hop into today's conversation, I want to remind you to follow us on social. If you're loving this podcast and you want more community, you want to find out more about our events and all the stuff that we have going on behind the scenes, you can find us on Facebook, Twitter, TikTok, YouTube, Instagram, and everywhere else you love to hang out on the internet. If you're loving this podcast, please take a moment to leave us a review if you listen to us on Apple. It's the easiest way to share our podcast with people that you know and love, and it helps us get discovered by amazing listeners like you. So take a moment, leave us a review, share us with your friends and family, subscribe so that you never miss an episode, and make sure to check out our blog, YoQuieroDineroPodcast.com, where you can sign up for our email list and you'll never miss an episode. Plus, you get exclusive invitations to our live events, special discounts for our digital courses, and as always, our best personal finance tips and advice to help you be poderosa with your dinero. Thanks for listening. Now, let's get into the episode.
Hola, mi gente. Welcome back to another episode of Yo Quiero Dinero. I am so fucking pumped for today's episode just because this woman is such a ball of energy. Like every time I see her on social media, I don't know how we got introduced. I'm pretty sure it's because we're both Puerto Rican and the algorithm was just like throwing all the amazing Boricuas towards me. And I was like, I need to talk to her, not only because she's an incredible personality on social media, but she is actually a hell of an entrepreneur. And we're going to be diving into all of that and more. Samantha, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you, beautiful. I'm so happy to be here. Honestly, so excited.
We're so excited to have you. Let's start off with you giving us a brief intro and then we're going to dive into your story.
Yeah, sure. So my name is Samantha Ortiz Young. I am born and raised in Brooklyn, New York. I am a personal trainer, entrepreneur, and content creator.
I love it. Okay. Was this always the dream?
Yes, to be an entrepreneur, for sure. Both of my parents were entrepreneurs, and it was like, I love the freedom that they had, so I wanted the same flexibility in my life.
Interesting. Okay, so what kind of businesses did they have?
My dad was in like construction type of business, and my mom was in nutrition, actually. So...
Oh, okay. So it's interesting because I find that a lot of kids from our community, like entrepreneurship is kind of seen as the thing that you do when you don't have any other options. And it doesn't sound like that was the message that you got.
Not at all. It was literally pushed to me. They saw like my vision. They saw like that I could run different businesses. They love my energy. They knew that I had to be my own boss. So they literally pushed me in that direction.
Wow. Okay. So tell me more. What is it about your personality that you think your parents identified early on and like she needs to be her own boss?
Just I'm very driven and I like to lead a lot. Like I was in sports my whole life. So definitely a community leading and just having a lot of goals set as an athlete really trained, I believe, my personality into wanting to always be a leader, doing what I love to do and inspiring people. And I felt like I can do that on my own with my own business and my own goals.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So you have been in the fitness industry basically like your whole life. Can you talk about that and kind of what was your intro point and when did you decide that like this could be the career for you?
Sure. So I started playing sports at the age of 8. I played softball and volleyball throughout my whole youth into high school, got scholarships to play in college as well. And again, it was just like ingrained in me. Both of my parents were also athletes as well. And I just loved it. I just enjoyed being, again, leader, being driven, just having that routine of getting up, working out, and having that excitement of sports in my life. And when I graduated with a sports marketing and management degree. I knew I wanted my own business, just didn't know exactly what I wanted to do. So I kind of went into like, I don't know. When I graduated, I was just like, I'm not sure what I want to do, where I want to work, if I want to have my own business. I wasn't sure yet. So I started playing. I started with Zumba, literally. I started teaching Zumba because, you know, we're Latina, so we love to dance. And I just enjoyed it. From there, I just started training clients in my parents' living room, literally. It was a lot of fun stuff in between that. But it was basically from college. Didn't know right away, did Zumba, and then little by little, I became more into the fitness industry in terms of strength training and HIIT style, which is what I do now.
Okay. So you worked in studios. I understand that you've had your own gym. So tell me about what that journey was like.
Okay. You ready?
I'm ready. I bet it was not easy. I bet it was not linear.
No, not at all. So yeah. So I did start. After Zumba, I wanted to focus on strength training. So I literally had my first clients, my sister and her best friend at the time. I would train in my parents' living room. I would move all the furniture everywhere. I was super creative in the small space that I had. And my parents were always so inspiring and so supportive. They would literally hide in the room so that I can do my work, literally. So from there, word of mouth through social media, I started having more private clients. And then I'm like, I can't really handle all of this private. So I started doing boot camps. And then I started doing boot camps in my parents' living room. We're talking 20, 30, 40 people in this living room. What? Yes, girl. I was determined. I'm like, I love it. I want people to feel good in their skin. So little by little, I started using the outdoors and I rented spaces. But I always wanted a place to call home. And my dad at the time, he wanted to create a gym for me in the garage. So he was doing that. But unfortunately, he had passed. Also, the love for fitness comes from him because he was diagnosed with kidney failure at a very young age. So I knew my dad as a sick man his whole life, but he always was super driven, always supported his family. And through his life experiences, I really began to appreciate movement and appreciate life, I believe, differently than any other teenagers and young children at the time. Because as he got older, his body became less mobile. And I took that and I said, my dream, my goal, my mission is to help people move their body. Even when they think that they can't, I'm going to help them move it. So that's where the love for fitness comes. So he tried to finish that. He wasn't able to. But right before that, I was renting out a studio space with no elevator. I was trucking all the equipment up 3 times a week. And I was like, you know what? I want my own space. I want to do something that my dad was going to do for me, but on a bigger scale. So that's where we were able to create the bootcamp studio space that I had for almost 5 years. A beautiful space. It was in the neighborhood where I grew up because we also didn't have different locations like that where I grew up. It was just like kind of outdoors and that's it. There was nothing else really like community-based. So I wanted really to bring that to my community. And I was so grateful to do so with myself, my mom, and my sister. So 3 Latinas in the fitness industry, family owned. And it was great. We were in Forbes. We were in New York Times. We were on TV. Like we really did a beautiful impact for our community. And that was a great time in my life. And then from there, we transitioned online. There was some issues at the studio with the landlord. So I took that and I said, you know what? Let me transition everything online. So that's what I did. And that's kind of where I am right now, where I have my own Somanthi app. And I get to help people not only in Brooklyn, but all around the world. So that's something beautiful that I get to do at the moment.
I love that. So did you make the transition online before or after the pandemic?
Literally right before, months before.
Oh, wow. Okay. So it was almost just like the universe was guiding you because obviously we know what happened. Gyms were definitely heavily affected. And I think a lot of people in your industry kind of were forced to go online. I even remember Zumba for the first time going online. And I'm like, I thought this shit would never happen, that you could take Zumba classes online. And now even still 4 years later, it's still a thing. Like people still request and demand that like these services are accessible virtually just because we now live in a different world. And so you were definitely ahead of the game. Can we talk a little bit about the logistics of getting your own studio? Because there's folks who listen to this podcast who want to have a physical location. What was like the funding situation like, permitting, dealing with the city, all that stuff? What was that like?
I would say do it differently than I did. In terms of we used our own money. I would highly suggest not doing that. I would highly suggest getting a loan in a sense, something where you have funds of your own, just in case things pop off, to be honest, because they will. Those rainy days, they rain. They're raining, honey, okay? So I would say definitely securing a plan in place. We kind of just went in with our eyes closed. I think also just because of my dad passing, it was just kind of something where we just wanted to do and we were going with the flow. So I wouldn't suggest that. I would suggest definitely having a plan in place, looking at even marketing, all these things, logistics, classes, how many people are you going to be able to serve? Pricing, the rent, all of that. You want to have rent for at least 1 to 2 years, literally, because in the beginning, it's going to be a little harder for you to make what you're putting in. So I would suggest those things in terms of just having security for at least 1 or 2. And then in terms of the spacing, we ended up literally creating something in that space because there was no walls, nothing. It was like a warehouse type of feel. So we invested in the space. And I think what we learned was that the actual where everyone is training, the actual studio space should be the biggest part of the actual studio. The beginning where you walk in and greet people, that could be like one of the smallest spaces. You want to utilize your space as much as possible. And then we had showers. We did such extravagant work, which was beautiful. But I think really just honing in on where your actual clients will be in that space is the most important. So utilizing that and just like those other things of showers and where you kind of greet people, let that be one of the smallest things that you bring into the space personally.
I love that advice. Okay. So let's talk about marketing, because one of the things that stands out to me about your marketing is like you are just hella yourself on social media. And I think a lot of people would be intimidated to just be their authentic selves, especially because as women, as Latinas, we're kind of told to do the opposite. Like, don't make noise. Don't raise your voice. Don't intimidate people. Don't be extra. And you're like, I don't give a fuck. Like, this is who I am. Where do you channel that confidence from? Where does that come from?
Definitely how I grew up, being Latina as well. My mom was a superwoman, you know, like, so she always was just like so chilled about things. And she always like embraced her body and her cellulite and her hair. So I think a lot of that comes from my upbringing. And then I just brought that onto me as an adult now. And I feel like we live in a society where things have to be so like cookie cutter, especially in the fitness industry, where, you know, real women, we have cellulite, we have love handles. And I share that all the time, especially being in the fitness industry. I feel like, you know, like you're in the fitness industry, you shouldn't have this, you shouldn't have that. And that's completely false. Completely false. And I think when I am that way, when I bring that authenticity, a lot of women understand, they feel relatable with that conversation, because it's like most women do have these things, especially women of color. So I love to embrace it. I love to celebrate it. And I think when I do that, it just gives like a light at the end of the tunnel for certain women who were told like, that's not pretty. Be quiet. Don't say that. It brings a light at the end of the tunnel where it's like, no, you can express yourself. You can look this way and still be strong as hell, be strong and healthy. Like, there's so many great things that come from us embracing ourselves. And I love to share that with my social media following.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we definitely need representation in all the spaces, including the fitness industry. You know, I think about my own journey with personal fitness. It's like, that wasn't something I saw modeled at home. Like, nobody was working out. Everybody was out of shape. Everybody was having chronic illnesses, dealing with fucking being on pills and all types of stuff. And I think I was probably the first in my family to even like become a regular gym goer. And now like my mom is even more passionate about fitness than I am, because she has seen her own health improve. She's seen her own mobility improve and things like that. And it's become like a family thing now, where we're like, we exercise and everybody has like their thing. What do you think it is about our culture that still doesn't place an emphasis on physical fitness? Like, do you find that as a barrier for you, like communicating with folks about like why they should even care about their bodies?
Definitely. I feel like there is just this thought of like, we're working hard and that's it. Like, we're career driven. This is normal. You should be overweight, or maybe you shouldn't. Like, the health, your health, that's in the back burner. You have to worry about your family. You have to worry about your career. Like, those are the, for them, I feel like that is the main focus. And then the health is just behind. So yeah, that's what I feel when I'm speaking to people, women of color, is just like, no, career is important. Family's important. If I have low energy, I'll just take this, that, and try to get some more energy. Like, there's no focus and emphasis on nutrition and health.
Yeah, I think it's definitely, it fits the narrative of what we're told, like, we need to be giving to everybody else before you give to yourself, right? Like, somehow taking time out to pour into yourself, to go and work out, get that 60 minutes. It's like selfish almost. It's seen as like, how indulgent, how privileged of you to even be able to like do shit like that. Why do you think that's a toxic narrative? And why do you think we actually should be prioritizing ourselves first?
First of all, I don't know why they think that way. I'm like, why? Like, literally, when you pour into yourself, you're able to give even more to others. And I think that narrative is terrible, to be honest. Even women, you know, barely eat throughout the day. We're talking maybe one meal a day. And it's just like, how's your body going to continue to function if you're just giving it the bare minimum? It just makes no sense at times. But I know that that's how the brain was taught when we were younger. And again, I lived a different life. So having movement was so important and definitely a priority for my family. But I think you have to start changing the narrative of how you think about yourself, and knowing that when you pour into yourself, you're able to give so much more. That way you have more energy. to do your career. You have more energy to be with the family. You have more energy to be an open ear, because a lot of times we are that therapist, we're that cleaner. We're all these different hats, women. And it's like, well, when do we get a moment? And then we're just deteriorating inside. And it just, that's where I'm trying to change the narrative of like, putting yourself first isn't selfish. Putting yourself first is what's important. That's where you're going to be able to give even more. And I think changing it in that narrative has been helpful, because a lot of times, like you've mentioned, it's just, oh, I'm being selfish, or I don't have time for that. It's like, you got to make time. It literally, you won't be able to do anything. I always say, you can have all the money in the world, but if you're laying on a bed sick, the money's underneath you, you can't do shit with it. You can't do anything with it. You have to focus on your health is wealth. Amen. So that's my thought process.
Hell yeah. I think, you know, that is such an important thing to highlight, because we do place a lot of emphasis on the accolades, on the titles, on the career. I'm a wife, I'm a mom, I'm a thing. But it's like, are you healthy? Are you good? Are you okay? Or are you achieving all of these things at the sacrifice of your own physical health? Because at the end of the day, if that is the case, if you are accomplishing and doing all this shit and quote unquote killing it, but you're also killing yourself, you're not winning.
I totally agree.
All right. So let's talk about how you have built this successful brand that you're now, you know, a brand ambassador. You have a ton of social media followers. What do you think has been the secret sauce to your success? Like, how do you stand out in an industry that many would argue is like hella saturated?
It sounds corny, but just being myself and being consistent with my message. Because I feel like when we say be yourself on social media, it's like people are looking for consistency out of you. They want to know that you're literally walking the walk and talking the talk. I don't want to talk about being working out or being healthy, and then you see me every 2 seconds, like having something that doesn't make any sense. It's not a part of my, you know, 80% of the time, I'm good to go. The other time, it's balance for me. So if I want a pizza, if I want a friggin' ice cream, whatever it is, I'm going to show you. And that's what I preach. I preach balance, and I preach enjoying your life and just like having fun and expressing yourself. And I always say that moving your body is a privilege. So I feel like what makes me apart from everyone else is really giving energy. I think that's what I'm most known for being like that hype woman that just makes you feel like, oh man, like I want her energy. Like I want that. I feel like, again, from where I grew up, I always go back to this, but it's like, you don't know tomorrow's promise. You just don't know. So I feel like I'm going to get up and I'm going to be grateful that I just woke up today, and I'm going to utilize it to my best of my abilities. That's the truth. So I think setting me aside is just like that energy, that authenticity and consistency that I give my social following.
What do you do on those days when maybe you're just not feeling yourself, you know, when you're just not always able to be 100%? Because we're all going to have those moments as an entrepreneur. What do you do to pour back into yourself?
As an entrepreneur, I fire myself. Okay. And I say, I say, girl, you're fired right now. Okay. You get 24 hours max and get your ass up and move it. So I fire myself first. I might do a little dance. I might work out, or I might just sit on the couch and just watch some Netflix. Literally. Like I need a moment to decompress. So I always say, I fire myself, get to your life together, girl. Work out, dance a little bit, because music makes me happy. So I put music on. Or I'm just like, you know what? It's going to be a chill day. So I'm just going to relax and just decompress. So I feel like those are the things that I lean towards when I need like a moment.
I love it. I love the concept of firing yourself. We need to fire ourselves, y'all.
Nobody can fire us.
Bitch, you are not qualified. You're not qualified today. Goodbye. Come back tomorrow.
Yeah, you procrastinate.
Oh, man, that's good.
No. We don't want that energy.
Oh, shit. That's so funny. All right. So take us inside your business. Like, what is your business model? How do you make money? What are the different income streams that you have? Right. Because I'm sure there's a lot of people that like wonder if you want to start a fitness business, especially one that you run online like you do. Like, how do you actually make money doing this?
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
fast forward to the end of 2024. Think about your goals. What can you do right now to give yourself the best chance of succeeding? If you want to learn a new language, you should absolutely get Babbel. You don't need to pay hundreds of dollars to private tutors or waste hours on apps that really don't help you speak the language. Babbel's quick 10-minute lessons are handcrafted by over 200 language experts to help you start speaking a new language in as little as 3 weeks. Just like the information that we share here on Yo Quiero Dinero, Babbel's tips and tools are approachable, rooted in real-life situations, and delivered with conversation-based teaching so that you're ready to practice what you've learned in the real world. Babbel's convenient courses have helped me learn real-life French conversational skills. I was so intimidated by the French language the first time that I visited Paris, but with Babbel's help, I learned how to order food, ask for directions, all without having to consult a random language app while I'm on vacation. Here's a special limited-time deal for our listeners. Right now, get 50% off a one-time payment for a lifetime Babbel subscription, but only for our listeners at babbel.com/dinero. Get 50% off at babbel.com/dinero, spelled babbel.com/dinero. Rules and restrictions may apply.
I have, as of right now, three different incomes that come in. So I do private training. So I have one-on-one clients that I work with, mostly virtual. I do have some that are in person, but I would say 90% of them are online. I also have my Somanti app, so that's more accessible. And what I love about that is that you have on-demand workouts. You have over 200 videos that you can utilize on there, and also nutritional help. So if you're not sure what to eat, how to cook something, there's recipes, there's shopping lists. There's so much that you can utilize on that platform in addition to community. So there's a great community board where you're able to show your pre and post workouts. You can also find motivation there. If you're like, oh, I don't want to work out today, go on there. And my community is phenomenal. So that is a subscription model. So that's something that I have members on a monthly basis, and I make money off of that way. Then I also do content creation. So I work with different brands, and that's always fun because I find it's great when they want to work with someone like me, bringing awareness to the Latino community. I think that's so important. And I love that I can be a representation. So through that, I do different contracts and partnerships. And that just depends on what the brand is looking for in terms of content, usage. And that's how I make money in that aspect. And lastly, I'm sorry, I have one more. And nutrition also help with, like, in terms of, like, if you're not sure what vitamins to take, what supplements, what protein, what collagen, anything along the lines of nutrition, I help you in terms of that as well. So I partner with a company that helps me help my people in terms of, like, nutrition, because a lot of times we don't know what to eat or what products. There's so many products out there. So I always help in that aspect as well.
I love it. I'm a stan for multiple income streams. And I think especially nowadays, we all need them. Even if you just have a regular job, y'all, like, you cannot be out here relying on a single income source, whether you have a business or you are working, you know, for somebody
else. You are the queen of that, girl. I love that. Yes, I love it. I love that you share that.
I'm not trying to be stressed out.
No, amen.
I'm not trying to be out here stressed out with a business that I created on my own. I'm like, yo, if you hate your business and if stressing you out, that's your fault because you made that shit. So you need to fix it.
Amen.
All right. So let's talk about the logistics of, like, teaching yourself this stuff, right? Because you have an app. Did you build this app, or, like, how did that work?
I did research. So I did a lot of research, and I found a development company that helped me create the app. Yeah. So that's how I created the Somati app.
Okay. So how did you teach yourself how to become a content creator? Trial and error, like the rest of us.
Exactly. Trial and error. I learned a lot along the way. I mean, in terms of pricing, it's so tricky. You just don't know, especially when you're just starting out and you're like, should I do things for free? Is this enough? There's so many questions, but I'm so grateful that I've learned along the way. And again, you just learn. You just ask around. You're just like, oh, I should have done this. So I learn from every partnership that I do. And I mean, I've made hundreds of thousands of dollars. I'm so grateful for that piece. But I'm talking about $30,000 contracts, $40,000, $50,000. And you just learn. Like, I was making maybe $500 per post. And it's just like, as you go along, yeah, you just go along. So I don't want people to be discouraged. It takes time to understand. And again, just asking questions. Now I have a manager that helps me in terms of like looking at contracts and negotiating, but I did that by myself before. So you just got to go through it. You got to understand it's just like a process.
Absolutely. It is. This whole entrepreneurial journey is just trial and error, especially if you're like just doing shit that nobody else in your family even understands, right? I bet your family is like, how the hell are you paying your bills, girl?
How are you traveling, bitch? Like, what are you doing? Oh my God, it's so funny. And
yeah,
also,
my parents still don't understand what I do.
Yeah, I'm sure. They're like, yeah, are you getting a real job? Like, what are you doing?
Yeah. Do you work for the mafia? Yeah, it's fine.
There's
it's
also fine. No books on this. Like, there's no nothing. You literally just have to go through it. You have to go through the trial and error of it. So it's crazy. But
yeah, it's so
we're
true.
Making it. If we can do it, guys, you can do it. Trust me.
It's so true. I think half of the battle is just honestly giving yourself permission to try new things. And it sounds like you're very good at like the art of pivoting, of just like figuring shit out. Where do you think that resilience comes from? And like, how do you handle those moments in business? Because we all have them where shit's just not going right. And how do you not quit?
Yeah. I mean, I want to give the perfect example of me transitioning from my studio to going online. Like that wasn't necessarily my choice. It was more of we were having issues with our landlord and we were in court for like 2 years with this man. It was a long and very financially burdening situation. Where it was just like, we don't have focus anymore on the business side. We're just like fighting with this man. So it was hard for me. It was very hard for me to say, okay, we're going to have to close the studio for this. And I really didn't know what to do. I've shared this before where it's like, I felt like a failure. I didn't have another plan. Like this was plan A through Z. Like this was it. Like this is what I was going to do. This is what I was meant to do. And I felt so lost and I felt lost for a while. And I started doing some online stuff, but I just didn't feel like myself. And going from that and understanding that I'm not a failure, that this is just a stepping stone, that this is just a learning curve. And I've had other instances, of course, where I had to pivot. It wasn't as difficult in a sense because I'm a very positive person. And I always think like, okay, well, this happened for a reason. But for this specific situation, I was just like, I did everything right. Like I did everything. Like I made something for my beautiful community. I'm in there from 4 a.m. in the morning to freaking 8 p.m. Like I'm grinding. Like I'm here and I'm giving service. And what I thought was my mission. So I felt very lost and it took time, but you still learn to pivot and say, okay, how can I move from the situation? How can I still create movement for people? So I then transitioned online. I still didn't feel like myself because I was utilizing platforms and it wasn't like my name on it. I'm very thing about my name being on things. Like I wanted to be branded and I still was like, ugh, I still don't feel it. And then finally I was like, I think I need my own app. So I literally from that moment on, I've been feeling like myself. I've been putting like 150% of myself back into work. And that really, really helped me. But for those who are wondering, like even when my dad passed away, that was another pivoting moment. And it's just like, which way am I going to go? Am I going to go in a sense of like feeling bad for myself, feeling bad for my family? Or am I going to take what he taught me and just give it to the world? And I chose to do that. So I think sitting down and figuring out why you're doing what you're doing is going to help you continue to move forward and not give up because entrepreneurship is very tricky. You know, one moment we're like on top of the world. Next month we're like, oh my God, like I should not do this. It's just a roller coaster. You know how it is.
I'm glad that you mentioned that. I know how it is, girl. And you know, that ability to just deal with shit as it comes is a skill set in its own. And I have to probably think that like your background as somebody who's in the fitness industry for a long time and just understands that like there is pain before there is that transformation, right? Like this just comes with it. You just understand like it's hard now, but it won't be as hard later. And just focusing on that long-term success versus the instant gratification shit, that's going to get you so far. Because I think there's so much of the get rich quick scheme. I want the instant success. I want the Ozempic shots. I want all of the shit that is going to get me to the goal faster. But those quote unquote successes that come from taking shortcuts are always short lived and they're not gratifying. They're, you just can't hang your hat on shit when you haven't really gone through shit.
Absolutely. You have to be patient. And I know that's hard in this day and age. People just want instant things. But I think the worth of it will keep you moving forward. Like, there's that delayed gratification. It's coming. Trust me. Like, that hard work that you're putting in will show out. It will. And I think just reminding people, because they see us on a certain level and it's just like, oh my God, why can't I get there already? It's like, we have so much behind us, guys. We have so many years and so many things that we had to go through that we probably don't even want to share half of the time. So, you know, it's just like, we all go through things. So don't feel like you see us and it's like end all be all. No, we went through those trials and tribulations and we still go through them.
Absolutely. How long have you been at this point? Like, just in the industry?
13, 14 years.
There you go, y'all. Like, this is what I'm saying. Like, I'm 11 years in. It's just like, you are seeing people's decade-long journeys and comparing your day one to that shit. And that's the same toxic thing that we do when we see somebody who has, like, the aesthetic that we're looking for, the body type or whatever. It's like, do not think that that shit happened overnight. Because even though you see the before and after picture right there on social media, that shit will have you thinking like it happened 24 hours ago. I promise you, there are fucking years that people have put into any type of success that you see, whether that is a physical transformation, a business success, a career, anything. And I think it's just such an important reminder, like, give yourself that context and don't compare yourself to when you're at day one to the, like, year 10 of somebody else.
Comparison is the thief of happiness, for sure.
Mm-hmm. So I know that entrepreneurship for me has been a hell of a personal development journey. Like, I have been triggered. I have been in therapy. I have had to confront all the limiting beliefs, all the shit. What's the most interesting thing that you've learned about yourself in this journey?
How resilient I am, to be honest. I also go to therapy as well. And people are like, you don't need to go to therapy. I'm like, I need to go to therapy. Okay. But I think being resilient, because there's just so many roadblocks that we go through and it's easy to give up. But I feel like my mission is too important. What I want to achieve, what I want to give to people, the energy that I want them to receive, the life that I want them to have. I got to keep going. And I've fallen many times and I will continue to fall. But I think knowing why you're doing what you're doing is so important. And a lot of the times as we go along, we forget that. And I think another point is, I always say this, write down what you've achieved thus far, because a lot of the times we forget what we've done. We don't remember that. We're just in that moment right now and like, we can't achieve it. We're like, oh, I can't do anything. It's not going the way I want it. Literally in my phone, I have a list of everything I've accomplished thus far in these 13 years. And I look at that and I said, look, Sam, you've done all this. You've helped all these people. You've been a role model. You've been a leader. You've done things that a lot of people can't do. Keep going. And I always tell people that. I'm like, write those things down because you've achieved something. You definitely have. You're just forgetting it. You're in this moment now. Refresh your mind. Know where you came from and keep moving forward.
Mm-hmm. You know, I think one of the things that really drives a lot of entrepreneurs is the freedom that comes with being your own boss. Can you talk to us about how some of that freedom shows up for you, whether that's financially or time-wise? Like, what are the things you're most grateful for as a result of your entrepreneurial journey?
I would say my time. I would definitely say my time, even though I have to structure myself better because you are your own boss and you have to learn how to really bring in routines throughout your day. I think just that flexibility of having time. And again, I grew up with parents who also were entrepreneurs. So I love that they were always at my sporting events and they were at different things. And I wanted that. I wanted to live that life that they had. And then in the future, when I have kids, I want to also be able to do that for them. So I think that freedom, also financially, like, I'm able to travel always, no matter what. I'm able to just live a life that I dreamt of, that I worked hard for. And I think that's important. That's a reminder for me every day to be like, you know what, Sam, you deserve to live this type of life. And a lot of times I find like people don't think that way. They're like, do I kind of deserve it? I don't really deserve it. Like, there's a lot of that imposter syndrome that comes in. We all go through it. I go through it. But I think just reminding yourself that, yes, like, you don't have to be slaving and helping someone else achieve their dreams. Like, you can also do this for yourself. It's going to be hard work, but those benefits are going to come in with whatever you want to do in life. I love to travel. That's something I enjoy. But there's other things that other people enjoy with their time and their freedom. So definitely time and definitely that freedom, girl.
That is the name of the game, y'all. It is really the ability to structure and create a life that feels completely within your control. And I think I can't even imagine giving that up at this point. I'm like, y'all gonna have to throw some serious money at me and some serious benefits, because there's no fucking way that I'm gonna be asking for PTO again. We're not doing it.
Oh my God, I can't.
I am not signing up for adult daycare, aka corporate America. We're not doing that shit.
She's like, I'm done. No, thank you. Been there, done that. Don't want to do it.
Yes. Absolutely. All right. So I always like asking entrepreneurs who've been like in the game for a while this question. Knowing what you know now, what's the number one piece of advice that you would give to your baby entrepreneur self?
Having structure. I think as an entrepreneur, I didn't really know what structure was. I kind of just like went with the flow, kind of work a little bit here, work a little bit there, relax, watch TV, come back. I think I'm still working on that, to be honest, that personal development, that structure is so important when you're running a business. And we get so distracted. We get so distracted with social media and family and other things that we like need that structure and family. So I think definitely structure.
What does that structure look like for you?
So definitely waking up, having a moment to meditate, stretch. I would then work out or have breakfast depending on the time. Either way, I would then do a workout or eat, then get into work, then get into like that stuff. Not looking at social media. I don't look at social media till maybe 11 or 12, 11 a.m. or 12 p.m. in the afternoon. So before, kind of was rolling out of bed, looking at social media, and I would put like, oh, it's my job. Like, I have to do this. Like, no, I don't have to do this. So I think that structure and just like eating, having my walking pad, like so many different things that I've grown throughout this time of like all these years, like just finding that structure for myself and what feels good to me.
Yeah. And that evolves. Like, it's okay for you not to be like, I'm gonna wake up at 4 a.m. and like run for 3 miles. And like, I'm just never going to be a morning person. I've just accepted that shit. And I'm like, I don't think it's affected my ability to grow my business. So I'm not really out here trying to emulate somebody else's self-care routine. I need to do what works for me. And for me, that looks like I don't work before 11 a.m. and I don't work on Mondays or Fridays. And it's just like, you gotta tweak shit until it feels like you are in control versus your business being in control of you.
I totally agree. Because again, that's where that structure comes in. Because if not, the whole week passes by and you didn't even do anything. And I've had that too. We're like, damn, it's already Friday. I didn't do shit. Like, what am I doing with my time? And I agree with you. I'm right. Not a morning person either. Mm-mm. So I think, again, like doing what works for you. A lot of times we want to like replicate what other people are doing. Maybe you could probably get some different ideas from people. But at the end of the day, you, what makes you you is you. So do what works for you.
Absolutely. What is the biggest milestone that you are most proud of in your journey as an entrepreneur?
Hitting over 6 figures. That was really big for me. Coming from like not knowing what the hell I was doing to now running these different businesses and hitting 6 figures in each of them is something that I was like, wow. Like the little Samantha is so proud. Like that little girl that used to do car washes with the fire hydrant and do little Italian ices. You know, like I used to be a hustler bustler. Like that was me. And from right now, it's just crazy to me that I'm here and we're only going to be higher. And the whole thing is like, I want to be able to help other women of color do the same thing. Cause a lot of times you're like, can I really do it? And it's like, yeah, you can.
Let's talk about that. So for folks who want to get into the fitness industry in 2024 and beyond, what's like the one piece of advice you would share with them to get started?
I think for sure, finding that structure, finding what specific group of people you want to work with, like niching down. I hate that word sometimes, but literally in the fitness industry, it's so important to find that avatar, that person that you're really like, you want to help them. So I would say narrowing that down, because a lot of times it's like, I want to help everybody. I want to help everybody. And I feel like I was like that too. Like, I want to just help everyone. And it's just like, Samantha, no, you can't help everyone. So I think narrowing that down is really important. And then finding that structure, different systems in place is important, because a lot of the times we just kind of do stuff like, oh, let's Venmo here and or here. Like, at the end of the day, you can't scale that type of business that way. You have to learn how to use different systems, and pricing is so important too. So there's just so many things, but I think starting with who is the person that you're trying to target, that's where you want to start. And then little by little, you're going to work your way up to like, okay, now I have that. Now let me start marketing that type of person and having like research marketing tactic. There's just so many things behind that. But I would say first, just figure out who you want to attract and help.
As you've grown and scaled your business, how have you outsourced work? You know, do you have other people that work for you? How do you use systems and software to help you not become burnt out?
So at least for, because God knows. We've been there, done that. Definitely having a manager for my content creation business has been phenomenal. It's just, that's not my zone of genius, looking at contracts and negotiating. That's just not me anymore. I'm not there. I used to do it, but now I'm like, you know what? I'm at a point, thank God, that I can have somebody helping me. So I think once you hit a certain point and you just want to solely focus on content creation, having someone to help you with that back end work is fantastic. I also have an assistant as well that helps with different email marketings, just answering emails, to be honest. And then for my, I have a whole app team behind me as well that helps download the workouts. They also send emails for my members. We have a lot of stuff on the community page that they then post. So just like help in that way. And then the one-on-one, I would say that's more me, just because that's like my high ticket offering. So I like to be as involved as possible. But I also use different like platforms to have my clients, all of their numbers, their before and after photos, where their workouts are, their nutrition, all of that is on a platform that I utilize to just make sure that everything's in place. Because if not, again, I'm on Google Docs, I'm on this, like it just gets out of control. So yeah, so that's where I get my help most of the time.
I'm glad that you were so transparent about that, because I think that's another thing that people don't realize when they compare themselves to successful entrepreneurs. Like, we are not doing this shit alone. I promise you, there is a team, there are people, there are systems, there are processes, there is structure in place. So if you feel like, holy shit, I cannot like achieve what this person is achieving, do you even have the resources that this other person has? Probably not. Giving yourself that context and that information is like so important as a reminder. So I want to close out with this. It takes a certain level of discipline to achieve anything in life, whether that is getting into the best physical shape of your life, improving your finances. What advice would you give to somebody who is struggling to hold themselves accountable to what they want to achieve?
I believe that what's holding them back is fear. And a lot of times we put excuses in the way of like, oh, I don't have time, or I can't achieve that, or I tried, it didn't work. A lot of times there's fear behind that of failure. And I don't want to fail again. I don't want to be in that position anymore. So I think a lot of the times we have to understand that that's really the root of it. And if we start understanding that that's it, it's not really you, it's having that fear, then you can start disassociating yourself a little bit more and say, you know what, that's not really me. It's that I'm like that fear kicks in, but I'm bigger and I'm better than that. And also taking your time with things. I feel like when people, especially when they're starting their fitness journey, it's like, oh, I'm starting out. I'm working out 5 times a week. I'm doing it twice a day. I'm only having this. I'm having no carbs. Like, it's just like
75 hard.
I'm like, oh my God, baby. Like, we got to go slow. I heard this before. It's like, commit to less so you could commit to more. It's just like, work out maybe 3 times a week, 2 times a week. Do something that is attainable to you. And as you get better and you start feeling the benefits of this, then you can increase. That's so important. Like, people just want to throw it straight at themselves. And it's just like, within 2 weeks, you're going to be burned out. You're not going to be able to do it. you're going to be able to do it. So I always say commit to less so you could do more. Do that. Start little by little and then gradually get yourself into it. Don't have to eliminate all these different food groups and all that. Like, just start eating. You know what healthier looks like. We all know what healthier foods look like. Just start incorporating them little by little. And then you're going to see, because I think I always share this, like, we already know what feeling like shit feels like. We already know what out of breath feels like. We already know what it is if we don't show up for ourselves. And that is in business. And that is also in fitness. It's like, we already know. So why don't we say, let me give myself a chance. Like, let me actually see what it is if I actually go through with this right now. What would that feel like? What would that look like?
I love that perspective. And it's like, I'm having so many like light bulb moments listening to you talk about this, because it's the exact same thing when people decide that they want to start changing their money stories. Okay. So you hear about, I got to pay off debt. I got to invest. I got to go start a side hustle. I got to go refinance all this shit. And it's like, no wonder you're fucking exhausted. And then you don't end up doing anything. You don't even start the budget because you're out here planning step 17 when you haven't even started with step one. So it's like, if you're right now in a situation where like you want to get your financial shit together, look at your fucking numbers. Can we start there? Can you understand where this starting point is? What's your situation? Because then when you start to understand that, you can then start to create that plan to pay off the debt, to open an investment account, to start that side hustle. But if you don't even give yourself the permission to understand like this is actually going to be a journey. It's not going to be a one and done. And I cannot focus everything, all this attention on 17 fucking things and expect to do any of them well. Just like, let's come back to reality. That's why I hate New Year's resolutions so much, because they're just bullshit. You are setting yourself up for failure by committing to all of these fucking things when you're not even really grounding them in any kind of root why other than like, I should be doing it.
Exactly. There's no why. There's just like, well, the internet said I should do this, so let me do this. Like, no.
Yes. Yes. No. You really need to get down to that. Why do you want to improve your physical fitness? Why do you want to change your money story? Why do you want to start investing? Why? Because when shit gets hard, that's the thing that you have to come back to time and time again.
You can't have the fitness without the finances. It's just like everything goes together. Everything goes together.
It's so true. It's so true. And it really is the what we talked about earlier, like the idea that health is wealth. Like it really is the foundation of living a happy, successful life. Like, because you can, again, achieve all the things, mark off all of the things on that checklist. But if you are not in a physically healthy state to even enjoy that shit, it means not a damn thing.
It ain't that the truth, honey. Ain't that the truth. It's so true. Absolutely.
Samantha, this conversation has been incredible. I know folks are going to want to find out so much more about you, sign up for your fitness workouts, get in the stratosphere that is Samantha Ortiz Young. So tell us where we can find you, how clients can work with you, and anything that you have exciting that is coming up that we should know.
Yeah, of course. Well, first, thank you for having me. Super excited. Love these topics. It just makes so much sense in my head. I'm like, we need both people. Thank you.
Yes.
But on social media, I'm on Instagram. I literally have my shirt on, so it's just easier. Now let me stop.
Love it.
At Somanti, so Somanti. And you can also, in terms of working with me, everything is on my bio. So if you want to do one-on-one private training, there is an application for that. If you're looking for more well-rounded, so I have my app. So there's just different options. Everything is there. We have a 7-day free trial also for the Somanti app. So you can have all that. DM me. I love community. So don't be afraid. I'm always here to have a good time and help you along your fitness and wellness journey.
I love it. And I want to say one of the things that I love about your content is you are putting a fresh perspective on what it means to actually like take care of yourself, right? When we talk about getting your financial shit together, I think a lot of people think about like budgeting and how restrictive and like painful and fucking terrible it should be. And I think a lot of people associate taking care of yourself physically with the same shit. It's like restriction and dieting and deprivation. And I'm supposed to fucking hate this. And you're actually giving us permission to like have fun, enjoy yourself, commit to like realistic goals
and enjoy the ride. And that's why I feel like I vibe so much with what you're doing. And there's so much like synergy in this spaces. So I feel like we need to have like a fitness and finance collab.
Hello.
Because
yes, with love.
This shit is magic. And there's so much alignment. So much alignment.
It's crazy, right? It's just like, wow, we do. Like we do need that. Yes, it's true. You're right. Especially with finance too. I feel like people are like, oh no, I got a budget. I can't do that. I don't make enough. I don't know. There's so many things like this, that hesitation is just like, take a deep breath. We're going to help you. It's going to be nice and slow. This is a journey. This is not a sprint. Okay. Nice and slow. But I would love that. Let's go. Let's speak it to its existence. I would love to do something. So.
Absolutely. If y'all want to see that, please go ahead and reach out on social media. There are just so many incredible creators out here who are doing incredible things, and you're absolutely one of them. So thank you so much for being here.
Thank you. And same to you, girl. Same to you.
My business used to be weighed down by the complexities of in-person payments. Then Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe came along and changed everything. With Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe, I streamlined my payment process effortlessly. Now I can accept in-person, contactless payments right from my iPhone. No extra hardware required. What's truly remarkable is how I can cater to all of my customers' payment preferences. Whether they're using cards, Apple Pay, or other digital wallets, Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe ensure a smooth checkout experience every time. And it's not just me. Stripe helps businesses of all sizes, from local markets to global retailers, scale quickly and stay agile. To learn how Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe can help grow your revenue and reach, visit stripe.com/tapiphone.
Thanks for listening to today's episode. If you are ready to take your dinero to the next level, sign up for our free 14-page guide, The Financially Lit Latina, the ultimate blueprint for becoming poderosa with your dinero. This 14-page guide includes our best tips on money mindset, budgeting, debt repayment, career, investing, financial independence, side hustles, and more. And you can get it completely free. So to get your copy of The Financially Lit Latina, just head over to yoquierodineropodcast.com/start. And start transforming your dinero story today. Until next time, stay empowered, stay inspired, and stay poderosa. On the Yo Quiero Dinero podcast and associated entities, all information provided is for general information purposes only and does not constitute accounting, legal, tax, or other professional advice. Listeners should not act upon the content or information found here without first seeking appropriate advice from an accountant, financial planner, lawyer, or other professional. We assume no responsibility for information contained on this podcast and associated entities and disclaim all liability with respect to such information, including but not limited to any liability for errors, inaccuracies, omissions, or misleading or defamatory statements. Usage of this podcast and associated contents constitutes an explicit understanding and acceptance of the terms of this disclaimer.